customers. My focus is the people here.
I don't make anybody happy.
John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host John DePietro.
Is Providence crime town?
No question about it. Hey, good afternoon. As I said, once again, one and all, it is John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. You can listen to the program each afternoon, 1 to 5 right here, AM 1540, and it's WADK. And every week at this time, you can also, by the way, good afternoon all listening and watching on Facebook Live. We'd love your feedback, comments, questions. Gregory usually comments on sound quality. It's a happening. Just go to John DePietro Show on Facebook, and you can be part of the Facebook Live experience. Joining us right now, as I said, managing editor at OceanStateCurrent.com, it is our friend, Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John. How are you doing?
Very well. Justin, I want to start off, this has been, to me, building for a little while. It's kind of been in and out. It's almost like sightings sometimes when you hear sometimes during the course of the year, like there's a beer loose in Cranston or somewhere else, and then there's various sightings. Link Chafee has been in and out, former Governor Chafee has been in and out of the media and making comments and really upping his comments and criticism of Governor Raimondo and going farther and farther. I believe he did an interview last week where now he's starting to say she's the Hillary Clinton of the way Hillary was for 2016. But yesterday was seemingly enough is enough because Bill Lynch, former Democrat Party chair, issued a statement, did some interviews, but issued a statement really going after Governor Chafee, mocking him and making fun of him and saying, you know, he couldn't run for reelection and knocking his metric system. And Chafee is kind of going silent on this. But I'd like your take on what do you make of... You know, Chafee continues to float out there that he may seek to run again. His criticism with Raimondo seems pretty steady. But now the element of Lynch, Democrat, former Democrat Party chairman, now spokesperson, finally swinging back at former Governor Chafee.
Well, my first thought is I think Governor Chafee, former Governor Chafee, he wants to be relevant, and he kind of always has wanted to be. And he feels like he's a real independent voice, and in some ways he is. So he wants to be out there spreading his views. And also I'm sure he's burned a little bit by his single term as governor. So his pitch in some regards is almost, like the President Bush billboards you saw in the early Obama years, you know, miss me yet. His pitch is, so it's actually interesting against Bill Lynch making fun of him and Link Chafee saying, well, you may not have liked me when I was in office, but this next governor is really terrible. Hmm. So it's an interesting battle they're having there. I think he's probably gearing up a little bit testing the waters for a run for governor, but more I think he just wants to clear his name and be relevant to the conversation.
Well, what's interesting, Justin, to me is the whole run for president was supposed to clear his name. That certainly didn't go anywhere as far as, you know, just the 1%. And I played the Wolf Blitzer interview where he's like, you know, listen, you know, you've had a distinguished career. He'd see you embarrass yourself. What is this going to take for you to get out of the race? But as much as he's criticizing Raimondo, and it is an atmosphere where if you knock her, there's certainly an audience for it and people are receptive. But I'm just curious. I don't hear him really coming up and putting forth any ideas. For instance, I hear a lot from people like Mike Stenhouse of things that they would do to try to improve things. And I hear things from Representative Patricia Morgan, but maybe I'm missing it. But to me, Link Chafee, it all just seems to be, you know, criticism of Raimondo. Whatever she does, he's just saying the opposite.
Well, to some extent. I mean, part of the reason he's out there right now is he's for some reason active pushing against the natural gas plant in Burrillville, the energy plant.
Good point.
So he's out there doing
yes.
that. And a lot of the initial comments I've heard him make before he gets into a broader commentary is that she's too comfortable with fossil fuels and big money and all that.
Yes.
And he's having some effect in that because she's now on record opposing Invenergy. She's signed us up for the Paris Agreement. If that's constitutional, I'm not sure. But so he's having some effect if that's his primary goal. And that may be. He may just be advocating for that particular issue.
You know, what's interesting is, number one, he did tell the Providence Journal, I believe, or maybe NPR, he would not run as a Republican. So he's currently a Democrat. He was technically in the Democrat primary for president. He was on the stage with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders and Governor O'Malley. So that leaves either running again as an independent or running as a Democrat. Now, I think, Justin, he is a little bit of a dangerous combination because he does have a name. He has wealth. He's bored. And he certainly still seems to really have it out for her. I am not convinced he's going to run because I've also heard rumors that he says the best job he's ever had was Mayor of Warwick, and if Mayor Avedisian decides this is his final term, he would actually run for that again. But I think if he were to run, I think he would just, I believe, run as an independent because he would like to face off on a stage in a general election against her, maybe try to hurt her, prevent her from a second term. You know, there was bad blood. He felt that, you know, her and Angel Tavares were like too gung-ho that they were going to run against him in a primary. But I'm still not convinced he's going to run. I think as you said, he likes to be relevant. He likes the attention. That is true about Boroughville and drawing attention to the big money. But what is so telling to me is not last fall, but 2 years ago, he was on the stage in the Democrat primary for president, and here's Bill Lynch absolutely, you know, killing him in this press release yesterday, mocking him about the metric system and Christmas trees. And, I mean, talk about – I don't think they know what to do about Governor Chafee.
Well, that makes him like everything else that they don't know what to do about. He's actually gone farther than saying he wouldn't run as a Republican. He's been asked that whether he would support Mayor Avedisian from Warwick if he ran for governor, and his response was no. He's too tied in with the Republican Party. So it's sort of the link fairness, I guess, against
yes.
the party. Probably from back when he was running and didn't get a lot of Republican support. So I don't know if that's his plan. On the Bill Lynch thing, I'm actually starting to wonder, because he pops out to talk back against Brandon Bell of the Rhode Island GOP, and now against Link Chafee. And I'm wondering if that's almost going to have you kind of want to see the governor stick up for herself. You know, in most cases, you would want the governor to stay aloof from the sort of petty politics.
Right.
But it almost seems like she's so disconnected from Rhode Island, and that's one area that Chafee's been hitting her. You know, I can't believe she's jetting off to Chicago and New York. No, you're supposed to be here doing your job.
Yeah.
So he's hitting her with that, and here comes Bill Lynch, you know, as if, you know, your featured guest, Governor Raimondo, couldn't make it today. So you got me, Bill Lynch, to badmouth the opponent. You know, it's almost like a bad move at this point. And I'd kind of want to see Governor Raimondo mixing it up a bit. But, if Chafee is serious and if he keeps on this path and it's not just a momentary thing because he's advocating against Invenergy or something like that, my thought is, oh, no, here we go again. That'll be three elections in a row with just this weird dynamic, wealthy, independent thinking people coming in. And you know, people have a right to run for anything, but it's really we're learning in Rhode Island why a two-party system kind of helps to narrow down the choices, because we keep ending up with people like Link Chafee and like Governor Raimondo who can't really do the job very well.
No.
And it's going to be a problem. And hopefully, you know, I wonder also if it compounds. So if you've got a Republican, a Democrat, and Chafee, I wonder if that signals somebody else who's kind of a fringe candidate to jump in and say, hey, out of four, I might have a chance of something. And I think we could use a normal election cycle around here for governor.
And you're right about Sam Bell, who is the progressives, because you remember last time Bill Lynch said he put out a press release calling it Big Bell and Little Bell, and he was referring to Brandon Bell and also Samuel Bell. Folks, it's John DePietro Show. We're speaking with managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com, Justin Katz. Justin, the governor came out yesterday, and it's in this morning's Providence Journal. Suddenly now she's saying we need to look for other sources of revenue for the state. Now, talk about like late in the game, where have you been? She does identify that there is a budget gap, but what do you make of, what is she talking about? She doesn't want to raise any type of taxes. She said she's against any type of tax. Now they're talking about raising taxes on sugary drinks, and now they're talking tobacco again, which I just, how much farther are you going to put it? But it's interesting to me that this late in the game, she's suggesting to explore other sources of revenue. Part of me is it's June. You unveiled your budget in January. Like, where have you been for the past 5 months?
Yeah, I wonder. I've wondered if some of this is again, the effect of Link Chafee, because he's also been hitting her about saying that she's not going to, she doesn't have an action plan for the budget. So I wonder if she's sort of trying to make herself seem like she's more involved in negotiations than maybe she is. But the more revenue thing is definitely not something anybody should want to hear. Of course, at this point for negotiations, if you're thinking of, you know, Speaker Mattiello, his main concern is going to be his legislators.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, if he has 3/5 of them, and in the Senate, obviously,
yep,
Raimondo is not even a party to the negotiation. So it's almost like a sideshow. And it's always like that. It's not just her. It's that way with Kirchiri and
right.
Chafee. Once we're at this point, it's the legislature. What she may be trying to do is peel off some, say, progressive Democrats, and while they're trying to negotiate for their paid sick time or something, she may be trying to make them, put them in the question mark column for Mattiello so that he has to consider some of her proposals.
Hmm.
That could be some of it. And they're always after more revenue.
Right.
And
they don't care where it comes from. Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's an excellent point, Justin, because if you go back to the campaign trail, then candidate Raimondo used to say, and this was her line on stage, we can't just cut our way out of this thing, right? We need to grow. We need cranes in the sky. We need jobs. Well, obviously, you know, we haven't had the type of building. They're trying to say they brought in a lot of jobs, although, you know, the numbers are, certainly could be disputed. But that's an interesting take that because, you know, if anything, we can't afford to raise any taxes. This business that they're going to put more taxes on hotels or pass it along that way, I mean, nobody wants that. And it also flies in the face of people seem excited about some relief from the car tax. And instead she's saying, you know, well, we got to find other ways of revenue, where I think we all agree, Justin, if anything, we have bloated government and there is room to cut.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's even a question at this point. But I don't know how far she gets with Mattiello on the revenue thing, because at some point it really starts to look like exchanging the car tax for another tax, which is a really bad idea, because the car tax, as much as we all hate it, taking it away is not going to provide all that much of an economic boost, whereas taking other taxes and using that money to eliminate the car tax really will ultimately kill jobs in the economy, according to the models that we have at the Center for Freedom and Prosperity. So I think that's going to be a no-go for Mattiello, and he's been very, very adamant that we're looking to reduce. We're looking to find savings in the budget, not to find new revenue. We'll see. There are a lot of sneaky ways they can do that. One thing that worries me, though, is we've seen a pattern in at least the past couple of years, I haven't gone back beyond that, where they'll raise the budget, say, 3%, as they did for this fiscal year.
Yep.
And then halfway through the year, they'll come back with their revised budget and get another 3-4%. So if this budget as it stands right now, Raimondo's budget passes, in the current fiscal year, we'll have actually seen a 7-9% increase in the state budget.
Hmm.
So that's another trick they do. You know, you either overestimate some revenue or underestimate some expenses, and that way that keeps your budget increase down to the 3-4% range. And then a year later you say, oh, we came in over budget, and you take the hit then maybe a little bit politically. But that's another thing, another trick the assembly may try. But I think in doing that, they'll try to avoid new revenues.
When are you hearing that they could, in fact, wrap up this whole budget process?
Well, I think everybody's been talking about next Tuesday's finance meeting is when we'll get the details.
Yeah. I mean, just think of that. I mean, there's still, I mean, it, you know, she better move fast. Look at how much, like, just comes down. This is like the old people, you know, the people would say you just put on the last 5 minutes of an NBA game to then watch it. I mean, this is what it all comes down to, of how much they're going to cram in. And I also think it's interesting that the mayor of Pawtucket, Mayor Grabian, who is still trying to introduce the plus tax legislation through the Senate, he said, boy, I'd hate to think this thing is going to die, basically because of bad blood between the governor and the speaker. But anyone that's plugged in, there's no blood there in any way. Joe Sakacci is in a very difficult situation. I think he's got the worst job at the State House, where he has to try to keep both sides happy. I mean, he worked on ran the Raimondo campaign, and then he's Mattiello's number two. I know that Raimondo, boy, they'd love to get rid of Mattiello, find a way, and then have Sakacci as the speaker. I don't see how that's going to happen. But speaking of the speaker, and folks, again, it's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking with managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com, Justin Katz. Justin, this Channel 12 story regarding Frank Montanaro, to me, this is exactly the problem with the attitude at the State House, the attitude in Rhode Island, where you take a guy that has, you know, state job at Rhode Island College 27 years, his buddy becomes the speaker, talking about Frank Montanaro, Matty Yellow becomes there, basically almost double his salary, $80,000 to $156,000, almost $160,000. And then that's not enough. He has to go out on this whole deal of special leave so he can still get the free tuition for his kids. I mean, it's as Rome is burning. I mean, it's always shenanigans and antics up there.
Oh, yeah. Well, it couldn't be clearer that, you know, they don't work for us. We work for them to supply them with their goodies. It's just outrageous. The guy takes a $72,000, $73,000 jump in his salary, and he gets this. Even on its own, the idea that going from one state job to another one, you can hold your last one for 3 years.
Yes.
Are you serious? That's a whole cycle. So if Matty Yellow got in there, got him this job with JCLS, the Joint Legislative Services, and then got booted out 2 years later, he could just go back to his old job. So that 3 year, Montanaro's been saying, well, I didn't know if I would take to the job and all this stuff. Or you didn't know if your boy would still be in there and you'd get bumped in 2 years. It's outrageous that this would even be in there as a possibility to go back to your job.
Yes.
And then you add in this contract provision where anybody on leave to job, they're saying now, oh, well, no, it's actually not a benefit of being in the union contract that you can get this free tuition while you're on what is it, leave to protect?
Yes.
Is what they're calling it. They always have these phrases, I'm parked on the job, this is leave to protect.
Yep.
But, you know, saying that you can't get the benefit unless you get special permission is the same thing as saying you can get the benefit with special permission. And that's exactly what he did. So that provision needs to be wiped out of any contracts, first of all. But what I'd love to see is if some of the investigative journalists in the state will go out and find somebody who's applied for this leave.
Yes.
Benefit for their own kids to get free schooling and didn't get it. That would be the real sign that it's not just a union thing. It's a direct corruption thing. But this from start to finish, this whole issue is just so enlightening of how we've almost gone from a union, a mob run state to a union run state.
Yeah.
It's just a different kind of racketeering. And it's just insane. I would hope that people are starting to wake up. But as we've discussed before, a lot of people who do say, you know what, that's it, I'm out of this place. And that's not a healthy trend either.
It's not. And Justin, what's also interesting, finally, on the Montanaro thing is this is someone who has, you know, great influence at the State House. Good luck if he were to say to Mattiello, I'm going to leave this job and get a job in the private sector that's going to pay me $156,000 a year. I mean, good luck to him based on what his experience is. But he has huge impact and sway over what, you know, the budget ends up being. And I think that's one of the more disturbing elements of the whole thing. This is not some backbencher. This is someone, I mean, to me, if you're involved with any type of budgeting process, you know, you have to be someone, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, but you have to be someone who, you know, that is trustworthy, shows consistent, good decision-making process, good management. And instead, I mean, this is a joke that he is trying to convince us he's not sure he was going to take to the job. So, folks, again, he is the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Justin, excellent as always, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks. Great to talk to you, John.
All right. Folks, it's John DePietro on this Tuesday. Again, thank you to everyone watching on Facebook Live. Now, it's very interesting. Coming up, we are going to carry Jeff Sessions is going to be testifying today, the Attorney General. So we're going to weave in and out of this, and we're going to keep you up to speed on that. And then we'll see exactly how that goes. I want to make sure, but we will bring that to you as far as Attorney General Jeff Sessions. This could be very explosive. Nothing there just yet, but he is expected. He is going to testify today. Hey, on this beautiful day, this is a great day. Oh, you can hear the background already. This is a great day for Top of the Bay. Top of the Bay Restaurant, Oakland Beach and Warwick. They brought back their lunch package deal. Well, excuse me. They are open for business, whether it be lunch or dinner. Have their hot clam cakes and chowder, lunch entree. Stop in for dinner. It's Top of the Bay Restaurant. You can enjoy a frozen drink and an appetizer. Top of the Bay, what a perfect place on this beautiful Tuesday. Whether it's fresh seafood, again, the clam cakes and chowder are delicious. Try the baked scrod, the chicken marsala, baked stuffed shrimp, steaks and more. top of the Bay restaurant and the upper deck where they have live entertainment. Top of the Bay. You can call them at 921-3663. Whether it's lunch or dinner, or you want to stop in for a frozen drink and an appetizer, you're going to love Top of the Bay restaurant online at topofthebayrestaurant.com. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. Now, coming up, we are going to bring you the Jeff Sessions. He is going to be testifying, the Attorney General. It's all ahead on the John DePietro Show.
Sound of Irish Music can be heard Sunday mornings at 8 on 1540 AM WADK and WADK.com. The Irish Hour is brought to you by the LaForge Casino Restaurant and Ireland Crawls. Be part of an Irish music tradition. Listen to the Irish Hour, Sunday mornings at 8.
From ABC News Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone. Apple getting in the game with a smart speaker. Apple has been criticized in recent years for following trends and not creating them, like during the years Steve Jobs was in charge. Now after Amazon and Google have seen successes with their smart speakers, Echo and Home, Apple is now getting in the game. Daniel Halley is with Yahoo Finance.
Apple really spent a lot of time talking about how good the speakers actually sound. They're putting a lot of effort into high-end sound quality.
The $350 price tag of the Apple HomePod is way higher than the Amazon Echo. At the annual Worldwide Developers Conference, Apple also unveiling more powerful iMacs and iPads.
The iPad Pro 10.5-inch kind of kills off the 9.7-inch iPad Pro. This is now the base model that you can get.
As Apple tries to take on the powerful Microsoft Surface, Apple says it also has the most powerful iMacs ever now, and announcing updates to iOS are coming soon. With Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone, ABC News.
Folks, Revolution Softwash, join the revolution. Get rid of the mold, the mildew, the bacteria, that algae. Call Bill McMahon, the man with the plan of Revolution Softwash today, 680-6591, 680-6591, or online at revolutionsoftwash.com. Now, outside your home or business, or your apartment complex or condo complex, do you have some of that green mold, the mildew, the algae, the moss? Maybe it's on a basketball court or your deck or a fence. Join the revolution and call Revolution Softwash. Folks, they have the safe, effective process. It's incredible. Call Bill McMahon at Revolution Softwash right now for a free, no obligation estimate. 680-6591, 680-6591. The website is revolutionsoftwash.com. Easy to remember. Just remember, join the revolution. It's Revolution Softwash. Call Bill McMahon today at Revolution Softwash. I've used them. They're incredible. It looks like you'll have a brand new roof or side of your building or deck or patio. Revolution Softwash, 680-6591. All right, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. In the background, you can hear that is we're getting set for Attorney General Jeff Sessions. He's going to testify. We're going to bring it to you. We're going to weave in and out of it. So we'll see exactly how it goes. Now, you can hear there's a live feed. And, you know, if you just go back to last week with Director Comey, that was obviously very, very dramatic. And some of the questions that we want to obviously anticipate and you want to listen for are going to be as they start to question Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, and he's going to testify before Congress this whole business of whether or not is that true that you were with the president and you were with James Comey and then you were just asked to leave the room. So we are going to bring this to you. And let me just see if there's anything else that comes up on this. Let's see. At this moment, the president and Ivanka Trump have departed Joint Base Andrews aboard Air Force One en route to Wisconsin for jobs and healthcare event. So Attorney General Jeff Sessions is going to be testifying. And we'll bring this to you. How about the Megyn Kelly mess? Have you heard about that? Where she interviewed Alex Jones? I interviewed Alex Jones many years ago. I'll have to find it. Alex Jones calls Megyn Kelly a psychopath with painted on Joker lips and psychopathic eyes. See if they keep his interview on Sunday night on the Megyn Kelly show. Wow. Sandy Hook Group dumps Megyn Kelly as event host. It's our hope Megyn and NBC reconsider not broadcast this interview. Well, she's under fire tremendously for that. Because Alex Jones had said that he didn't believe that it was that Sandy Hook actually happened. So, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. What you hear in the background is we are getting set that Attorney General Jeff Sessions will testify in front of the Senate. We're going to bring it to you live, and as I said, we're going to dip in and out of it. But this is he announced on Saturday that he is going to testify about his meetings with Russian officials. And again, this is before the Senate Intelligence Committee. Sessions is expected to push back against claims he met with the Russian ambassador at an event for then-candidate Donald Trump in April 2016. Session testimony comes just days after the world tuned in to listen to Comey testimony before the same body. So that's what we're going to listen for. But I think the key part here to listen for is going to be when they ask him about that Comey meeting with the president. And did that go down the way that James Comey claims that it went down? Which was that they were in there. We also want to listen. Comey claims that he said to Jeff Sessions, don't leave me alone with the president again, and that Sessions basically just shrugged his shoulders. So we're going to want to listen, should he be asked, or more importantly, exactly how he answers a question like that. So, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. As we stand by waiting for Attorney General Jeff Sessions, I want to remind you about our friends at Paul Massey. Stop in and see them. New England's largest Buick dealer, Rhode Island's largest GMC dealer, located Route 1 South Kingstown, Southern Rhode Island's largest dealership, Paul Massey Buick GMC South, where you can test drive that beautiful Buick LaCrosse. They also have the GMC Sierra, the Terrain, the Acadia, the Buick Encore, the Buick Regal, and what a great staff they have. Bob Massey, Rick McNally, Mike Casey, the truck manager, Richard McDermott, Steve Alvarez, Tom Fratiano, all there. Stop in and see them at the gateway to the beaches, right across from the tower, that great nautical theme. It's Paul Massey, Buick GMC South, located Route 1, South Kingstown. Remember, always online at paulmassey.com. So this is the Senate Intelligence Committee. You can hear them in the background. Good afternoon. It's John DePietro, and we're going to bring it to you as Attorney General Jeff Sessions. We'll see exactly how long this is going to go. Comey, FBI Director Comey, that testimony went for, I want to say, 2 hours and 45 minutes. I don't know how long this is going to go. Maybe we'll stay with it the whole time. Maybe we will not. We'll have to map out and see exactly how it's going. He may decline to answer some questions, so we're going to kind of play it by ear a little bit here, folks, as the afternoon is going to progress here on the John DePietro Show. And we're going to wait, but we will dip in and out, because sometimes then it does go on a little bit. So that's what you can hear in the background. Again, you can email me, john@depietro.com. john@depietro.com. I also want to remind you, your number one overhead door authority, Garage Headquarters, your source for increasing the value of your home. Make your home great again. Give them a call, 877-62-GARAGE, or online, garageheadquarters.com. Match the architecture of your home with the DoorView software imaging tool. No guesswork. Easy. Fun. Go with the leader since 1973. The certified professionals at Overhead Door Garage Headquarters. Your overhead door authority. The number one. Remember, better technicians, more warehouses, more trucks on the road than any other company. in Rhode Island and southeastern Mass, go with the number one. You're certified professionals. Hey, upgrade your home. It's the best investment you can make with an investment-grade door by Garage Headquarters, your number one overhead door authority. Your source for increasing the value of your home. Online, garageheadquarters.com, or call them 877-62-GARAGE, 877-62-GARAGE. I mentioned you can follow me on Twitter. It's John DePietro Show on Twitter. I may be tweeting during this. I'd like it to be interactive. Tempted to do the Facebook Live, but I want to wait and see exactly how the hearing is going to go down. And then also, I always encourage people, visit the Facebook page. It's John DePietro Show on Facebook, and we'll keep you up to speed with that as well. So right now, on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, temperature outside, 87 degrees. But tomorrow it's going to drop back down. They're running a little bit behind, but that can happen sometimes. But the weather just continues to be terrific. Boy, 87 in Newport, 95 degrees right now in Providence. And also, let me just check the Newport Bridge traffic. Wow, it's very smooth. If you're listening right now, and there's no traffic on Route 1, I can see over by Paul Massey on the cameras. There's no traffic anywhere on Route 1. Very smooth. You can get over there and check out the Buick LaCrosse. Now, Newport traffic, though, it's built up a little bit on the Newport side. So right now, Jamestown to Newport, completely fine. You can fly right across. But a little bit of a buildup on the Newport side, but certainly nothing bad in any way. I can see, we can see some of the speed limits, and then I can also zero in on some of the cameras. Our traffic is very smooth and moving right now on this Tuesday afternoon. Wow. Very, very, almost like no traffic, as a matter of fact. The traffic is so light over at the on the Newport side. Jamestown side is totally fine. But they're doing a decent job with the bridge construction. I'll give them that. So, folks, as I said, you could hear in the background, this is the Senate Intelligence Committee with Jeff Sessions. We'll see exactly what he's going to say. He did want to testify over the weekend. Now, last week, when FBI Director Comey testified, Comey said, well, we knew we were going to recuse Attorney General Sessions. We knew he would have to recuse himself. So as a result of that, Sessions over the weekend said, I'll testify on Tuesday. So Attorney General Jeff Sessions' appearance today before the Senate Intelligence Committee would be a high-stakes test for a Trump official who's become a central figure in the scandal engulfing the White House over Russia and the firing of James Comey as FBI director. Sessions, the former Republican senator from Alabama, this is from the Boston Globe, who has kept a low profile, will face tough questions from his former colleagues on a number of fronts that he's never had to publicly address in detail. Democrats plan to ask about his contacts during the 2016 campaign with the Russian ambassador to the United States, this guy again, while the attorney general failed to disclose fully during his confirmation hearing. They also want him to explain his role in the firing of Comey, despite the Attorney General's recusal in March from the Russian investigation following revelations of his meetings with the Russian ambassador. If, as the President said, I was fired because of the Russian investigation, why was the Attorney General involved in that chain, Comey said in testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee last week. Sessions' expected testimony comes amid reports President Trump is considering firing Robert Mueller, the special counsel investigating possible ties between the president's campaign and Russian officials. Now, the White House, or some of the speculation that's developed last night, was they were saying because Comey told the president he was not directly involved, that Sessions jumped the gun and didn't need to recuse himself. Therefore, you don't need his special counsel with Robert Mueller. That was the thinking. So we'll see if he addresses that today, but that is in the background, this threat. Now, you can really hear the cameras going off. I'm willing to bet that we're going to be beginning momentarily. Again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show, and we're going to bring you, this is live coverage of Attorney General Jeff Sessions' appearance for the Senate Intelligence Committee. So we'll see what questions they're going to ask him regards to some of the interaction he had with some of the Russian officials. And I also want to, as we're waiting for this to begin, folks, I want to remind you, if you're out and about on this beautiful Tuesday, make sure you stop over and see my friends at PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. Quaker Lane in North Kingstown. You can see Steve and Debbie. I was there just yesterday. What a magnificent outdoor display. Full garden center. Full garden center. Quaker Lane, North Kingstown, right next door to Allie's Tack Shop. You can call them at 295-4399. Hey, Father's Day is coming up on Sunday. You know what would be a great Father's Day gift? Flowers, trees, shrubs, plant it there. In memory, plant it for your dad, with your grandfather. All locally grown, full garden center. They're open 7 days a week. Stop in and see them right now on this Tuesday as you're coming back from the beach. PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. What a beautiful display they have. Byron Jr., and of course, Steve and Debbie. They're right next door to Allie's Tack Shop and right across from Allie's Donuts, down the street from Tarbox. PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. Great selection. Perfect for Father's Day. Also, full line of landscape materials plus pickup and delivery. All right, folks, let's join. This is Attorney General Jeff Sessions in front of Senate Intelligence Committee on the John DePietro Show. But again, PR Landscape Materials, what a great Father's Day gift that is. Magnificent outdoor display. They're right next door to Allie's
Attorney General Shop. Sessions.
Here we go.
Appreciate your willingness to appear before the committee today. I thank you for your years of dedicated service as a member of this body and your recent leadership at the Department of Justice. As I mentioned when Director Comey appeared before us last week, this committee's role is to be the eyes and ears for the other 85 members of the United States Senate and for the American people, ensuring that the intelligence community is operating lawfully and has the necessary tools to keep America safe. The community is a large and diverse place. We recognize the gravity of our investigation into Russia's interference in the 2016 U.S. elections, but I remind our constituents that while we investigate Russia, we are scrutinizing CIA's budget. While we're investigating Russia, we are still scrutinizing CIA's budget, NSA's 702 program, our nation's satellite program, and the entire IC effort to recruit and retain the best talent we can find in the world. More often than not, the committee conducts its work behind closed doors, a necessary step to ensure that our most sensitive sources and methods are protected. The sanctity of these sources and methods are at the heart of the intelligence community's ability to keep us safe and to keep our allies safe from those who seek to harm us. I've said repeatedly that I do not believe any committee that the committee does should be done in public. But I also recognize the gravity of the committee's current investigation and the need for the American people to be presented the facts so that they might make their own judgments. It is for that reason that this committee has now held its 10th open hearing of 2017. More than double that of the committee in recent years, and the fifth on the topic of Russian interference. Attorney General Sessions, this venue is your opportunity to separate fact from fiction and to set the record straight on a number of allegations reported in the press. For example, there are several issues that I'm hopeful we will address today. One, did you have any meetings with Russian officials or their proxies on behalf of the Trump campaign or during your time as Attorney General? Two, what was your involvement with candidate Trump's foreign policy team and what were their possible interactions with Russians? Three, why did you decide to recuse yourself from the government's Russia investigation? And fourth, what role, if any, did you play in the removal of then FBI Director Comey? I look forward to a candid and honest discussion as we continue to pursue the truth behind Russia's interference in the 2016 elections. The committee's experienced staff is interviewing the relevant parties, having spoken to more than 35 individuals to date, to include just yesterday an interview of former Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson. We also continue to review some of the most sensitive intelligence in our country's possession. As I've said previously, we will establish the facts, separate from rampant speculation, and lay them out for the American people to make their own judgment. Only then will we as a nation be able to put this episode to rest and look to the future. I'm hopeful that members will focus their questions today on the Russia investigation and not squander the opportunity by taking political or partisan shots. The Vice Chairman and I continue to lead this investigation together on what is a highly charged political issue. We may disagree at times, but we remain a unified team with a dedicated, focused, and professional staff working tirelessly on behalf of the American people to find the truth. The committee has made much progress as the political winds blow forcefully around us, and I think all members would agree that despite a torrent of public debate on who and what committee might be best suited to lead on this issue, the Intelligence Committee has lived up to its obligation to move forward with purpose and above politics. Mr. Attorney General, it's good to have you back. I would now turn to the Vice Chairman for any remarks he might have.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I want to also thank the way that we're proceeding on this investigation. Mr. Attorney General, it's good to see you again, and we appreciate your appearance on the heels of Mr. Comey's revealing testimony last week. I do, though, want to take a moment at the outset and first express some concern with the process by which we are seeing you, the Attorney General, today. It's my understanding that you were originally scheduled to testify in front of the House and Senate Appropriations Committees today. I know those appearances have been canceled to come here instead. While we appreciate his testimony before our committee, I believe I speak for many of my colleagues, that I believe he should also answer questions from members of those committees and the Judiciary Committee as well. Mr. Attorney General, it's my hope that you will reschedule those appearances as soon as possible. In addition, I want to say at the outset that while we consider your appearance today as just the beginning of our interaction with you and your department, Mr. Attorney General, we had always expected to talk to you as part of our investigation. We believed it would be actually later in the process. We're glad to accommodate your request to speak to us today. But we also expect to have your commitment to cooperate with all future requests and make yourself available as necessary to this committee for, as the chairman has indicated, this very important investigation. Now let's move to the subject of today's discussion. Let's start with the campaign. You are an early and ardent supporter of Mr. Trump. In March, you were named as chairman of the Trump campaign's National Security Advisory Committee. You are much more than a surrogate. You are a strategic advisor who helped shape much of the campaign's national security strategy. No doubt, you will have key insights about some of the key Trump associates that we're seeking to hear from in the weeks ahead. Questions have also been raised about some of your own interactions with Russian officials during the campaign. During your confirmation hearing in January, you said, quote, you did not have communications with Russians. Senator Leahy later asked you in writing whether you'd been in contact with anyone connected to any part of the Russian government about the 2016 election. You answered, I believe, with a definitive no. Despite that, the fact is, as we discovered later, that you did have interactions with Russian government officials during the course of the campaign. In March, you acknowledged two meetings with the Russian ambassador. Yet, there's also been some public reports of a possible third meeting at the Mayflower Hotel on April 27th. I hope that today you will help clear up those discrepancies. We also expect and hope, this is very important, that you'll be willing to provide the committee with any documents that we'd need to shed light on this issue, such as emails or calendars. Then, there's the topic of the firing of former FBI Director Comey. Last Thursday, we received testimony from Mr. Comey. Under oath, he outlined his very troubling interactions with the president, as well as the circumstances of his firing. A few disturbing points stood out. First, Mr. Comey, who has decades of experience at the Department of Justice and at the FBI, serving under presidents of both parties, was so unnerved by the actions of the president that he felt, quote, compelled to fully document every interaction they had. Mr. Comey sat where you are sitting today and testified that he was concerned that the President of the United States might lie about the nature of their meetings. That's a shocking statement from one of our nation's top law enforcement officials. We also heard that Director Comey took it as a direction from the President that he was to drop the FBI's investigation into former National Security Advisor General Mike Flynn. Finally, we heard from Mr. Comey that he believes he was fired over his handling of the Russia investigation. The President himself confirmed this in statements to the media. This is deeply troubling for all of us who believe on both sides of the aisle in preserving the independence of the FBI. We have a lot of work in order to follow up on these alarming disclosures. Mr. Attorney General, your testimony today is an opportunity to begin the process of asking those questions. For instance, again, and I know others will ask about this, you recused yourself from the Russia investigation, yet you participated in the firing of Mr. Comey over the handling of that same investigation. We'll want to ask you about how you view your recusal and whether you believe you've complied with it fully. In addition, we heard from Mr. Comey last week that the President asked you to leave the Oval Office so that he could speak one-on-one with Mr. Comey. Again, a very concerning action. We will need to hear from you about how you viewed the President's request and whether you thought it was appropriate. We'll also want to know if you are aware of any attempts by the President to enlist leaders in the intelligence community to undermine this very same Russia investigation. Most importantly, our committee will want to hear what you are doing to ensure that the Russians or any other foreign adversaries cannot attack our democratic process like this ever again. I'm concerned that the President still does not recognize the severity of the threat. He, to date, I believe, has not even acknowledged the unanimous conclusions of the U.S. intelligence community that Russia massively intervened in our elections. The threat we face is real, and it's not limited to us. The recent events in France are, again, a stark reminder that all Western democracies must take steps to protect themselves. I believe the United States can and must be a leader in this effort, but it will require our administration to get serious about this matter. Finally, in the past several weeks, we've seen a concerning pattern of administration officials refusing to answer public, unclassified questions about allegations about the President in this investigation. We had a hearing with this subject last week. I want to commend the chairman, who at the end of that hearing made very clear that it was not acceptable for our witnesses to come before Congress without answers. The American people deserve to know what's going on here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I look forward to the witness's testimony.
Thanks, Vice Chairman. Attorney General Sessions, if you would stand, I will administer the oath to you. Raise your right hand, if you would, please. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please be seated. Thank you, Attorney General Sessions. The floor is yours.
Thank you much. Thank you very much, Chairman Burr and Ranking Member Warner, for allowing me to publicly appear before your committee today. I appreciate the committee's critically important efforts to investigate Russian interference with our democratic processes. Such interference can never be tolerated, and I encourage every effort to get to the bottom of any such allegations. As you know, the Deputy Attorney General has appointed a special counsel to investigate the matters related to the Russian interference in the 2016 election. I'm here today to address several issues that have been specifically raised before this committee, and I appreciate the opportunity to respond to questions as fully as the Lord enables me to do so. But as I advise you, Mr. Chairman, and consistent with longstanding Department of Justice practice, I cannot and will not violate my duty to protect the confidential communications I have with the President. Now, let me address some issues directly. I did not have any private meetings, nor do I recall any conversations with any Russian officials at the Mayflower Hotel. I did not attend any meetings at that event separate. Prior to the speech I attended by the president today, I attended a reception with my staff that included at least 24 people and President Trump. Though I do recall several conversations that I had during that pre-speech reception, I do not have any recollection of meeting or talking to the Russian ambassador or any other Russian officials. If any brief interaction occurred in passing with the Russian ambassador during that reception, I do not remember it. After the speech, I was interviewed by the news media. There was an area for that in a different room, and then I left the hotel. But whether I ever attended a reception where the Russian ambassador was also present is entirely beside the point of this investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 campaign. Let me state this clearly, colleagues. I have never met with or had any conversation with any Russians or any foreign officials concerning any type of interference with any campaign or election in the United States. Further, I have no knowledge of any such conversations by anyone connected to the Trump campaign. I was your colleague in this body for 20 years, at least some of you, and the suggestion that I participated in any collusion, that I was aware of any collusion with the Russian government to hurt this country, which I have served with honor for 35 years, or to undermine the integrity of our democratic process, is an appalling and detestable lie. Relatedly, there is the assertion that I did not answer Senator Franken's question honestly at my confirmation hearing. Colleagues, that is false. I can't say colleagues now. I'm no longer a part of this body, but former colleagues, that is false. This is what happened. Senator Franken asked me a rambling question after some 6 hours of testimony that included dramatic new allegations that the United States intelligence community, the U.S. intelligence community, had advised President-elect Trump, quote, that there was a continuing exchange of information during the campaign between Trump's surrogates and intermediaries for the Russian government, close quote. I was taken aback by that explosive allegation, which he said was being reported as breaking news that very day, and which I had not heard. I wanted to refute that immediately, any suggestion that I was part of such an activity. I replied to Senator Franken this way, quote, Senator Franken, I'm not aware of any of those activities. I have been called a surrogate a time or two in that campaign, and I did not have communications with the Russians, and I'm unable to comment on it. Close quote. That was the context in which I was asked the question, and in that context, my answer was a fair and correct response to the charge as I understood it. I was responding to this allegation that we had met surrogates had been meeting with the Russians on a regular basis. It simply did not occur to me to go further than the context of the question and to list any